Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He's the man Talkers Magazine says is one of the most important talk show hosts in America.
We tell you over and over again that you're wonderful and you just don't get it. What's wrong with you?
He's Jim Blasingame, our Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. Very excited about having our good friend John Deeney back on the show. John is a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He's been hanging out with us now for about a dozen years or so, and we appreciate him very much. I've been extra jealous of him, though, over the last year or so since he wrote the book Hunting in a Farmer's World, which is still, I'm annoyed at myself because I didn't beat him to the punch on that one. But it's a great book, and I recommend to you, and he's our good friend John Deeney. Welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Jim. Thanks for having me back again.
It's great. It's good to have you back. You and I have talked about what I call the irony of having limited resources, the ironic power, I should say, of having limited resources. Let's do one segment on that again because I think it's important to talk about when people think of limited resources, that doesn't sound like a good thing.
No, it doesn't. But you know, for those of us that founded our companies, and you did, and I did, and so many of us started our companies from scratch,
blank slate,
working for somebody else, and decided to work for ourselves. And you know what it was like at the beginning. I mean, we had to walk uphill miles to work every day.
Yep.
It was uphill both ways.
Both ways in the snow, right?
In the snow. In the summer and the winter, it snowed all the time. And, you know, we tell the stories of how we started with nothing. But what we don't realize is we became utility infielders.
Mm-hmm.
Those of us that founded our companies have skills, at least a little bit of skill in every area of running the business. We can read our financial statements.
Right.
We know how to handle people. We know how to sell. Most
product
of
development.
We know how to sell. Product development.
Industry background, yeah.
Planning. And we did it because we couldn't afford to pay anybody else to do it. So we weren't specialists. We became generalists because we had nothing else to work with but our own brains and our own hands.
Mm-hmm.
And as we've aged, and you and I have talked many, many times about the boomers and, you know, the disproportionate number of boomers that own small businesses in the United States, you know, as we've aged, we may have become more specialized, but we still have that ability to look into every area of our company and
mm-hmm.
understand what's going on, even if we pay somebody to do that now. And we don't realize what great training that was. And we look at our younger
look at how much you learned when you were up against it the most. I mean, the worst day of my life was also my most creative day in my life.
Really?
You know what I mean? I mean, the more you're up against it, you know, it's like you know, if you're about to be executed, you've never been more alive than at that moment, right? And when you're about to lose your business, that's like being executed. And it's amazing the things you can discover about yourself, about life, about the business, about solving problems. It's amazing what you can learn when you're up against it like that.
Yeah.
And if you had plenty of help and plenty of resources, you wouldn't be up against it.
No, and you wouldn't know it. And you have this assumption that if I can't pay somebody to do it, it can't get done. Whereas when you don't have those resources, it gets done.
Yeah.
Somehow you figure out how to do it. You know, and I've heard you, in another way that applies, and I've heard you talk in the past about the discipline of debt.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, owing a bank money makes you pay attention to a lot of things that you might naturally kind of let slide.
That's right. Makes you show up every day, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
But, you know, another thing is customers. I mean, I can remember going to when I had my consulting business, when I was just literally starting out, and I'd go drop by on a client or a friend or something, and and they'd say, well, I need to have this done. Can you do that? And I'd say, yeah, I can do that. I'd take it, and I'd leave, and I'd get in my car, and I'd say, how am I going to do this? I don't know how to do this. But I figured it out.
I heard an absolutely wonderful story from an owner of a plastics injection molding plant up in Fort Worth, and or in Dallas, I guess he was. And he told me that he was calling on potential customers, and one guy was a rebar setter. And you know how you set rebar on those little stands so you can pour around them? And the guy said, boy, I'd do business with you. My current vendor is great, but he can't make them in blue. And this guy went back and looked at the Pepsi bottler across the street and saw blue cases that he could grind up and became the first guy to produce blue.
Wow. How about that? Hold on to that thought. We'll come back. We're going to change the subject. We're going to talk about, John wrote a piece recently about the difference between what customers need and what they want and why you need to know the difference. And that's what we're going to talk about. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.